My dear friends, it is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house this morning as we worship Him and turn our attentions toward Him and the salvation that He has won for us. And so as we do so this morning, let us begin in His name, in the name that into which we were baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we come into your presence knowing that we are able to be here because of the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that gives us faith in what your Son did for us on the cross. Lord, I pray that you would continue to send your Spirit to us this morning, that he may work in us. Help us to remember, help us to understand first your word, Lord, and then to remember and to be have it recalled to us, Lord, when it is needed in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning and help us to respond to you. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let's stand as we confess. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to this God who has done so much for us and whom we can't thank enough.
Thank you. name is Darwin Krause. I'm your elder for this morning. And we're going to have an exciting thing happen Wednesday evening, so I understand. The Lord's going to turn the moon into red. We'll probably have an eclipse. So it's wonderful how God put these signs in the skies for us. And also, he had made another great deal about bringing all the Jewish people to Jerusalem for Pentecost. You know, they come, this is a feast of the weeks, they call it, and harvest time. And so all the Jews gathered together in Jerusalem, and this is when God brought Pentecost so that his word could spread throughout the whole world. And so now let's see how he goes about doing it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, they came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Grecians and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is a word of the Lord.
All right, it's time for the children's message. So I guess the Falls family is going to be doing the children's message today.
Any other kids that would like to come up, you're welcome to. Are you guys going to sit with me? All right. So before we get too far here, I want you to turn around and see if you can find anything up at the front of the church that looks any different than normal. You're going to have to look really closely. So let's turn around. Let's look up at the altar and anything in the back of the church. Can you see anything different today? Well, that's not what I was thinking. Look for the color red. Yeah. So Sawyer, do you see that too? The red on the altar? What do you... We moved the piano yesterday. So why do you think there's a red banner on the altar and some banners that are special up on the rock walls? Why do you think that would be? Well, I'm kind of glad you said that. We can turn around now so the people can see us. I'm kind of glad that you said you don't know, because that's what I'm going to explain today. We have a red banner and some special banners up on the walls with a dove and some flames. Well, yeah, you're thinking about Moses and the burning bush, that's right. So a lot of the time in the Bible, when there's fire, something special is happening. And also when we see a dove, that might mean the Holy Spirit is present.
Is this when Jesus was baptized?
So the dove came down on Jesus when he was baptized, that's right. So all of these stories are connected. Good job. Today...
By the fiery bush?
Yeah. So that was Moses, the fiery bush. So today we have Pentecost, and Mr. Krauss just read about tongues of fire coming down and resting on people's heads. So in the burning bush, did the bush burn up? No, the bush didn't burn up. That's one of the things that was special. So did anybody get burned at Pentecost? No.
Because the fire wasn't even touching them.
Yeah, the fire was just like up above their heads a little bit. It's very strange to think about. So we're going to talk about another Old Testament Bible story, because it's really important that we understand what happened all the way back in the book of Genesis. And there was this story where the people tried to build a tower to God.
And then God changed their voices. And then they bonked each other on the head.
Well, I don't know about that, but they did. God changed their voices. So the people got together, and they all spoke the same language, and they were getting pretty smart by this time. So these were the descendants of Noah, and they decided they wanted to be closer to God, or be their own gods, basically. So they built a tower, and we call it the Tower of Babel. And at that time, all the people spoke the same language.
And it still stands, right?
I don't think it's still there, unfortunately. That'd be pretty neat if we could find it. But God changed their voices, right?
And they couldn't build any tower.
They couldn't build it any taller because God changed all their languages so they couldn't understand each other, and he spread them out all over the earth. And now, have you ever gone to like an airport or a big city where people speak different languages? Maybe Costco on Sundays? Like we go to Costco on Sundays, we get all sorts of different languages. So do you understand any of those words that people are using?
No.
So all the way back to the Tower of Babel, we still see the effects of that, because people's languages all over the world are different.
But it's taught through the Bible.
Yeah. So what did God do at Pentecost then?
He put fiery flames on their heads.
And they could talk in languages that they all understood. Or they just talked in a language. They all talked in their own languages, but then they could understand each other. Isn't that amazing? The disciples were there. So this is right after Jesus died and went to heaven.
And Pentecost was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And so...
And a fiery flame.
Isn't that amazing? So why did God allow them to understand each other, do you think?
So that they didn't start bopping each other on the head.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Because in the Bible, somebody would say, hey, hi. Are you doing? And other people would say, did you just say you're going to bop me?
Well, you're kind of stuck on that, Sawyer. That's okay.
Bop on the head?
Yeah. Well, it was important that the church could make God's word and his amazing salvation known all across the world. And so Jerusalem would have been this big, huge city, like New York City maybe, or like an airport where you hear all these different people and all these different languages, but they could understand each other. And so does St. Mark's go to some places? Sit up, honey.
Yeah.
Does St. Mark's go to some places where they don't speak English? Yeah.
Like India.
I don't know if we go to India, but we go to Guatemala, and they speak Spanish there. So is that kind of hard for our missionaries to go to Guatemala when they don't speak English?
Trained to speak Spanish.
Some people learn Spanish, and then sometimes we have interpreters. And so God, that speak both Spanish and English, so God makes it special so that his word can be known all across the world. And there's people who translate Bibles into all sorts of languages. There are still languages that we don't have Bibles in that language, but every day people are working to translate God's word into those languages so everybody can hear God's word. Isn't that amazing? So we know that at one time people wanted to be like God and he changed the languages, but at Pentecost he made everybody understand his words so that all could be saved. Amen?
Amen.
All right, why don't you repeat after me? Dear Jesus,
thank you
for letting us
understand your word
in all languages.
Help us
to tell others
about heaven
and being saved. Amen. All right. Thank you.
All right. It is time for a little worship. So the kids, 4-year-old through 4th grade, can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And you guys are going to get some teaching. And the rest of us, let's open up God's word here. Sermon text for today is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. You will know that I am the Lord.'" And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you back up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So, the interesting questions God asks people from time to time in Scripture, and here's one of them. Can these bones live? What is alive and what is dead? You know, when does a person actually become dead is actually a little bit more complicated of a question than we think. At one point they would hold a mirror up to somebody's, you know, nose, and they would see, are they still breathing? Are they alive or are they dead? But now we know that, you know, we can actually help somebody breathe, you know, through CPR, and we can actually help them begin breathing again if they've stopped. So does that really tell us whether they're dead? And then we decided, well, maybe it's the heartbeat. You know, once a person's heart stops beating, we'll know that they are dead, except that we know again through CPR that you can do chest compressions and sometimes get the heart to start beating again, in which case is that really an indicator of death, right? Some people with heart attacks are nodding their heads. Yes, that would be death. Anyway, no, the thing is that the question is, what is, you know, the point at which somebody is truly and certainly dead? And I'm not going to answer that question for you this morning because I'm a pastor, not a doctor. But what I will tell you is this. When a person's bones are dry, they're dead. All right? And I can tell you that with all certainty. When their bones are absolutely stripped and laying in a valley floor and utterly dry and mixed up with a whole bunch of other bones, they're dead. They're done. It's over. All right? There is no hope at that point. And this is what God was trying to tell Israel is this. Is Israel, there was no hope. I mean, Israel had his covenant with God. You know, remember God took them out of Egypt, brought them to the bottom of Mount Sinai, made his covenant with them. And the covenant was basically this. I will be your God. I will bless you, protect you, take care of you, provide for you. I will be your God. I will be your rock. I will be your shelter. I will be your defender. I will be your provider. I will be your God, and you will respond by being my people. You will worship me, follow me, obey me, and do the things that I tell you to do because I am taking care of you. This is the deal that God worked out with the children of Israel, and God was faithful. I mean, he was so faithful that the people were living very comfortable lives. They were blessed in the land that God had promised them. He gave them the land that he'd promised Abraham. They lived in it. They were blessed. They were wealthy. They were comfortable. So comfortable, by the way, that they began to have too much time on their hands and started looking after other gods, because when people are idle, they don't behave. And so they started looking after other gods. They started worshiping other gods. And they were not faithful to their part of the covenant. And God sent prophet after prophet to them, telling them, listen, you've got to stop. You've got to turn around. You've got to come back to the Lord. And they refused over and over until finally God, in his righteous judgment, took them into captivity in the land of Babylon, wiped out the northern kingdom with Assyria, and then later came back and wiped out the southern kingdom of and tore down the city walls of Jerusalem and the other cities, tore down the temple, killed off the king and all his line. And the nation of Israel was dead. They didn't have a capital. They didn't have a nation. They didn't have a king. There was nothing left. And the people were taken into exile. And the thing is that the Israelites were not the only nation that was taken into exile in world history. Many nations have been taken into exile. The northern kingdoms or the northern tribes were taken into exile. The only thing that's unique about Israel is that they were the only nation that I've ever heard of that has come back from exile. The only nation I've ever heard of that was able to survive having their nation utterly destroyed and be taken into captivity. And how did that happen? It happened because God is powerful. And see, this is one of the hard things that we have to remember is that in this world where everything is so uncertain, where bad things come and stressful things happen, and we know that we're so powerless to be able to stand up against it all, that there is a God that is powerful. That not only is God the one that has also made a covenant with us where he is our God as well, and that he loves us and that he cares for us, but that he is incredibly powerful. And I think that's what the children of Israel were struggling with right now, is because with all that had gone wrong with the destruction on Jerusalem, the destruction of so many of their people and being dragged off to Babylon into captivity, they just were like, what on earth could turn this around again? Could anything undo this? The damage is so huge that there's just no hope. There's just no hope. Which is why God gave Ezekiel this vision of dry bones. Because with dry bones, there is no hope. Unless God gets involved. Because God is powerful. He's mighty, he's strong, and he can overcome any obstacle that is in his way. Nothing stops him. Nothing keeps him from being able to do the things that he sets out to do. And when he went to the Valley of Dry Bones and he said, Ezekiel, can these bones come alive again? Can these bones live? And it's a good answer for a prophet. This is an answer full of humility. This is an answer full of, I'm not here to give you answers, God. You're here to give me answers. And that's a really good place to be. And so Ezekiel's answer is, only you know. You're the only one that don't ask me. You tell me, can these bones live? And God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Now, that seems like a really odd thing to do. You know, I've preached to all kinds of different groups. I have not preached to a cemetery yet. I preached at a cemetery, but it was to the living who were burying the dead. I didn't actually get to preach to the dead. You know, so, I mean, God has his prophets do some crazy things. And so today, Ezekiel gets to preach to a bunch of bones. But he gets to preach God's word to them. And God's word is powerful. And God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, say to the bones, I will make you live. I will join you together. I will put sinews on you and tendons and skin and flesh. I will put breath into you and you will live. And what happened? The bones lived. It was a mighty army, it says, a huge group of people all standing there. Because our God is powerful. And what God wanted is Ezekiel to be able to understand, and what he wanted Ezekiel to be able to share with the people of God is that it's never too late. That there is never a time at which you cannot be rescued by God. That the children of Israel were hopeless in a land that was not their own, in living in captivity, serving others. They had no control over their lives. And this promise that God had given them that they were going to be his holy nation, his royal priesthood, and that through them, all the world would be blessed because the Messiah was going to come to them, and that through the work of this Messiah, everybody would be saved. And they just thought that all of that was done. But God knew better. It was just 70 years later, the children of Israel were brought back out of captivity. The nation of Israel was restored. The city walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt. And the people were, many, many people came back from Babylon to the promised land. The land that was promised yet again. And the Messiah came. And it's so good that he came, because here's the thing. The children of Israel back in the time of the captivity were not the only people living without hope. So was everybody. Lost in our sin, without deserving our God's love, without deserving to be able to spend eternity with him, without even deserving to be in his presence like we are enjoying this morning, we lived without hope. We had no hope. We were lost in our sin. God's expectation was that we would be perfect as he created us to be in the Garden of Eden, and we fell short of that sin, or fell short of that law and fell into sin. And once we sinned, there was no hope. God says that we are spiritually dead, that there is nothing that can be done. It's like dry bones. And the question that God asked Ezekiel comes to us again: can these bones live? And the answer is the same as Ezekiel. We say, well, God, you tell me. And God answers by sending his son into this world to redeem this world by shedding his blood, by sacrificing himself, by carrying our sin and paying the full penalty of that sin on the cross, so that when we when the Holy Spirit comes, as we're celebrating today, and brings us faith, we receive that gift of eternal life in his name. Guys, the disciples were also kind of a mess. I mean, think about this, right? These are the people that God chose to follow him. And it was only a few days earlier, right, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was arrested, and what did the disciples do? They all ran away, right? Peter denies Christ, denies he ever knew him, doesn't even, I don't know who this guy is, right? Gets mad because somebody actually insisted that he was one of them, and he goes, no, I am not, with a few expletives even thrown in for good measure. Can these bones live? And what did Jesus do, or what did God do on the first Pentecost? Can these bones live? Can these disciples who have shown themselves to be unworthy of the job, can they still serve? Can they still speak the words of God? Can they still be the ones that the Holy Spirit uses to start the church? And the answer is, if God wills it. And God gave them power. It amazes me, the creativity of God, how he goes about doing the stuff that he does. I mean, who would have imagined that God would like descend upon the disciples when they're in this upper room and give them the ability to speak in tongues right on the day when there are people from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem, and that he would give the disciples the ability to speak all these different languages so that people could hear the gospel in their own native language. And not only that, I mean, a lot of times we think, well, that was the big miracle that happened that day. Guys, thousands of people came to faith on that first day. Thousands. Can these bones live? And we say, if God wills it. And here's what we know about God's will. He desires that everybody be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. His desire is that you and I would be his ambassadors in this world, that we would share this message of salvation with the people in our lives. And the question is, can we do that? And so many people say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not smart enough. I can't speak well enough. Sounds like Moses. God kind of used him, right? Can he use you? Can these bones live? They can if God wills it. And we know that we are all adopted into his family, made his children by the gift of baptism. We know that the Spirit lives in us just like he came to the disciples. That with that Spirit comes gifts and abilities. With that Spirit comes guidance. With that Spirit comes understanding. With that Spirit comes peace. With that Spirit comes faith. With that Spirit comes an eternal life. Can these bones live? Oh yeah, they can live. Not because we're so great, but because he is absolutely amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much. Thank you so much that when we were dead, you made us live. By the work of your Spirit, by the work of Christ, by the plan of the Father, you have brought us to you, to yourself, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work in our lives. Give us opportunities that we can serve you, Lord. Help us to be able to speak your word in this world. Help us to be your men and women. Help us, Lord, as we live out the faith you have put in us, as we live in you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. My dear friends, it is time to continue our worship this morning. And as we continue, let us sing of our Lord's goodness as he has continued to provide for us.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. He's a faithful God to all generations. For the Lord is say the Lord is good.
kindness fills our hearts to overflowing. Songs of rejoicing and sweet praise, they fill our
Now that we have heard our Father's word read, let us now confess our faith using the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which is so appropriate on this Pentecost. Let's confess. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Oh, and as we go into our time of prayer, we want to remember Mary Borgschulte, who's continuing to recover from surgery, and last I heard, doing much, much better, much less pain. Ken Bax, who has taken a turn for the worse and struggling pretty much, and we want to be praying for him. And Janice Wunderlich, who lost her father just a few days ago. And then also we want to pray for Jake and Anna, Jake Park and Anna Jenkins, as they're getting married later today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we thank you so much that you have provided for your people, that you have provided us, Lord, not just with the things we need for this earthly life, although that you have done and done wonderfully, but that you have provided for your people the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we need when we were lost in our sin and had no identity, that you made us your children, brought us into your kingdom, that we live under your care, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful as we live out the faith that you have given us. And Lord, I pray especially for some of our brothers and sisters, Lord, who are struggling. Lord, I pray for Mary Borgschulte, Lord, that you would continue to be with her and give her strength as she recovers from back surgery. Lord, be with Ken as he is just having lots of different health problems. Lord, I pray that you would be with him and give him strength. Be with Janice, Lord, and her whole family, Lord, at the death of her father. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be their strength, the one that you that they are all able to turn to, Lord, during this difficult time. And Lord, we are not supposed to just pray to you during the difficult times of life, but during the wonderful times of life as well. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the marriage of Jake and Anna, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would help them to continue to grow strong in you as they begin their life together later today. Lord, all these things we bring before you, and we pray these things, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Become more aware of your presence. of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, the King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be.
As we have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the strength and forgiveness he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us, as we are, we just received this meal. And one of the things that we know about this meal is that it is the foretaste of the heavenly banquet, sort of like the appetizer for the meal that we get to, the party we have in heaven with our God forever. And so as we turn our heads toward that final day when we get to rejoice with God, let us sing the final song, The Lion of Judah. Please stand as we sing.
Angels will cry, "Hail, Lamb!"
My friends, it's wonderful worshiping with you as always. And as we go our way today, I just want to encourage you, stick around for Bible study if you can. It's so important to be in God's Word deeply and richly. And with that, I'll see you in the back, folks.